All right. I'm here on March 17th at the Cotton Owens Enterprises talking with Pop, and just told him how we wanted to try to get some of his stories and history in his own words and his own voice, and he's agreed to do it. And Pop, let's just start from the beginning. Where were you? You were born in where?
I was born in Union, South Carolina, and we went. That was back during the tornadoes, actually 1924, and here the depression came along in 1930. It was bad, and my dad carried us everywhere for work. In other words, wherever he could get a job, that's where we went. I wound up starting school in Beaufort, South Carolina, in the first grade. That job played out after a while, and we came back to Union, and I went to school there for a while, and then we wound up in Arcadia, South Carolina, which is right, you know, suburb of Spartanburg, and I guess I finished that year out of school in there in Arcadia. Then we wound up going back to the Union, and we stayed there to 1934 or somewhere along there. Then we went out into the country, and they worked at Watts Mill in Lawrence County, I think it was. And we actually stayed there till he actually got a job at Swart Mill, somewhere around 35. Somewhere along there, we moved to Spartan Mill. And then Spartan Mill there, by that time I went to work delivering groceries for a grocery store there and saving my money and wound up.
Was that your first job?
Well, no, not really, because I delivered papers back in Union, and, you know, when we came back there in the early 30s.
Right.
Which wouldn't have been but 6 or 7 years old.
Right.
Got up 4 o'clock in the morning, delivered them papers, and so wound up
riding a bicycle. I tell you, what were you?
It was too poor to have a bicycle.
Huh.
We walked, and I had a little old white bulldog. It went with me everywhere that protected me from other dogs and so forth. And I had a stick I kept in my paper bag, and me and that white bulldog, we walked that paper route every morning. So wound up, we moved over to Cross Keys, and by then I was in the fifth grade of school, and so undoubtedly I think we must have lived about 3 to 5 miles away from the schoolhouse, which we had to walk it. There wasn't no buses or stuff back then. And, so wound up from there, like I said, Dad's got a job at Spartan Mill, and then we came to Spartanburg.
Yeah.
And before we got to Spartanburg, we actually lived in Stone Station, which is just a suburb of Spartanburg. And then when a mill house come open, we moved on the mill hill there, and on White College Street there, 333 College Street, and we lived there till I went into service in 1943.
So you spent the last 10 years of your growing up until you went into the service at Spartan Mill house on College Street.
Yeah, what you could say that, at least 5 to 6 years of it.
Yeah.
And I wound up like I said, working at the grocery store and delivering them groceries, and I saving everything, because I don't think I was making over maybe $10-$12 a week. And wound up, I bought a real cheap car later on there. It must have been 37, 38. I bought this 36 Ford. Wound up, I had to overhaul the motor, and which I had been doing mechanical work along with my grandfather in Union there, along with my dad. They all did their own mechanical work,
So even though your dad did
work in the mill, he did mechanical work on the side.
I see. To make money or just because he enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. It all in making a living.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wound up with a 34 Ford there at the end before I went into service. And I was a speed demon. I was completely wild, man. And wound up selling that car for $10 when I went into service in 1943.
$10.
$10, but I had a lot of driving experience in that 34 Ford.
Yeah.
Because I'd outrun everybody that had a car around there.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't guess, but there's one out of ever 10 or 12 families that had a car back then.
So you were actually fortunate to have a car back then.
Oh, yeah. I was the only young one that was around there that had a car.
So you grew up, I mean, you moved around with your dad, and he was doing odd jobs, just whatever he could find, it sounds like, back then.
Whatever job he could find, he done it.
Now, and growing up in the Great Depression, which is how you spent most of your childhood, I mean, what do you remember much about it? I mean, obviously, y'all did you have much or no?
All we had was food. We lived down when we moved back on one occasion. We moved back to Spartanburg. We lived down there in the country. We didn't have any electric lights, no inside baths. It's all outside. The mother would take her clothes up to my grandmother's there, who lived on the mill village and had electricity to do her washing and ironing. And I'd haul it in a wagon.
Y'all didn't have electricity?
No, we didn't have no electricity. And you had to heat the iron, you know, on the stove to iron your clothes back then.
Yeah.
So wound up, it was.
Yeah.
A rough life, but it was a good life.
Do you remember much about Beaufort when you were down there?
Nothing much, except on Saturday nights, everybody went to on Main Street. And this white bulldog I was telling you I had for so long, they had a bully of the town dog there. And I'm sitting there on the bench, and this white bulldog is there with me.
Yeah.
And this bully of the town came by, and he attacked my dog.
Yeah.
And my dog wore him out. So he wasn't the bully of the town no more, because my dog got rid of him.
What was your dad's name?
Wilson.
Wilson Owens.
Wilson V. Owens.
What do you remember about him?
Well, my dad was a unique feller. All you had to do was give him a sad story, and he'd give you his belt off his pants, his held his pants up. That's the type of feller he was, and he could do most anything he wanted to do, mechanical wise.
Yeah,
he was a hard worker.
Yeah,
he provided for his family.
Yeah,
and he wound up actually retiring from the mills and went into the service station, running the service station.
He ran a service station?
Yeah, down on South Church Street in Spartanburg.
That he owned or somebody else owned?
He was owner of it.
Yeah, yeah. And what was your mother's name?
Etter was my mother's name, Etter Owens. And she died when she was 49 years old.
So how old were you?
That was 1957.
So you were about 23 at the time?
No, I
was. You were born in 24, weren't you?
I was born in 24, and she died in 57. So,
33. You were 33.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Heart.
Yeah.
Heart attack.
Was she a good woman?
Actually, good. She made you go to church every Sunday.
Yeah. So she had you up in church.
You had to go to church every Sunday.
Yep, yep. And it was you and your two brothers. Were they all there?
Ralph said that we was a long ways in between.
Yeah.
There was 7 years between me and my next brother.
So Ralph was younger than you?
Was Ralph was 7 years. He was was born in Monarch, and he was, you know, real small all up through those years.
Yeah.
And then while I was in service, Larry was born.
I got
1943.
So you weren't even around when he was born?
No, I sure wasn't. I was in the Navy.
And so Larry would have been very young when your mother died.
He's 20 years, yeah, between us.
Who wound up taking care of him when she died?
He lived with Dot myself.
I got you. Well, that's I'd always had an impression, perhaps from that old picture with you and Dio and your dad standing next to one of your race cars, that your dad had been a mechanic all of his life.
And
I guess he had, although that wasn't his primary job for a lot of his life. I mean, he was a mill worker, it sounds like.
But wound up, he did both jobs.
Yeah.
Most all the time.
I got you.
Even dealerships downtown, he worked so many hours downtown at dealership, and then still worked in the mill. He was a hard worker.
And that's where you were exposed to cars and tools started learning your way around a car?
Oh, yeah. Then when I went into service, I came back out, and jobs were still hard to come by, even back in 1945, which was almost 1946. We got out right at the end of the year. The war was over in Germany, and they just had dropped an atomic bomb on Japan, and so some of us began getting out of service, you know, they did it on a point system.
Yeah.
And when they dropped the atomic bomb, I like 6 points of being eligible to come home, but I was in the hospital with a hernia in my stomach, and he said, I'm going to send you on home anyway.
So, the first car you had would have been that
36 Ford.
And you found a way to buy that yourself, or did your family help you?
Oh, yeah. I bought it myself.
Yeah.
I bought it myself. And then I kept trading. When I'd wear one out, yep. I kept trading. And this 34 Ford, it was a beautiful little car. And I wound up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's what I had when I went into service.
Now, you said you were a speed devil, speed demon. Were you racing against other people who had cars, or what were you doing?
That was the normal thing to do, because see, nobody had radios back then.
Yeah.
You just had them black and white cars. This 34 Ford had a pair of fender flaps on it, the spare tire bolted onto the back end of it, and had some deals over the headlights and all this. I could take all that stuff off in about 5 minutes.
Yep.
And I had an altogether different car.
Yeah.
And nobody ever saw me speeding, carrying on with all that stuff on it. It's always a naked car.
Gotcha. And what color was it? You remember?
It was green. It was green. And right before we went into service, we were at the service station, all this gang of boys, and I had this policeman. He says, "I'm gonna catch that green Ford one of these nights." And it was sitting around in the back there, and I snuck out the back door and brought that thing around there and drew him a circle and took off.
So the police kind of knew who they knew to.
Oh yeah,
they kept an eye out for you. They were trying
they aggravated us all the time, and knew we wasn't, you know, no bad bunch of boys. And
you enjoy driving fast.
Just left the car on a bunch of junk.
Yep. Well, that's something. And when you some of these old stories you've always told us, you've always mentioned old Teagum guy. Who was that?
That was a guy that I first met when I come to Spartan Mill, and wound up, you had to fight to survive back then. I mean, that was the only thing to do, shoot marbles, fight, go swimming. And I'd done been in one or two fights before me and Tinkham got into it. And me and him must have fought for about 2 or 3 hours, rolling over one another and hitting and banging. And finally, he said, "Let's just me and you be buddies." He couldn't whoop me, and I couldn't whoop him.
Yeah.
So that's the way me and him become good friends.
Yep. Now, you left for the service in what year?
March of 1943.
How did that come about? Did you sign up for that? Or
I signed up to have my draft moved.
Yeah.
I just become 18, and you couldn't join. You had to go through the draft. And I volunteered for the Army Air Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to work on them airplanes and or either whatever mechanical I could do. Because I didn't have that much education, I only went through the eighth grade, and I figured ground school was where I needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to Columbia, South Carolina, that part of the Corps was full, and they put me in the Navy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was in 1943.
In 1943.
And what did they? What do you remember about your service days? What did they? How'd they? Where'd they send you? Or what'd you do?
Well, we went right aboard of an old model destroyer, and we had a submarine task force hunting submarines. We had an aircraft carrier and four destroyers, and we went all over the Atlantic. In fact, we were around England there constant before the beginning of World War II invasion of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And D-Day.
Yep.
We wound up getting all those submarines out from in there that could possibly wipe out, you know, the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down into the Mediterranean Sea and Casablanca. We went all those places.
Yep.
That's where I guess we got our fuel from, and what time we couldn't get it off the aircraft carrier.
Right.
Wound up, this sickness was coming on me. I was seasick, and that's what really messed my stomach up. But I went aboard USS Savannah. It was a black cruiser, and then things wasn't near as bad, but my stomach was already messed up.
They transferred you to another ship,
Yeah, bigger ship.
Hmm. And what the story where y'all escorted the president? What
was that? That was when we went to carry Roosevelt to Malta.
Yeah.
And had this. Us all painted up, man, we looked like $1 million, and had this brand new ship. I don't know the name of it. It was camouflaged, and he was on that ship. Mm-hmm. But the target was us, and had these ships that was actually circling us.
Making y'all look like the target.
Making us look like that's where the president was.
And he was on one of the outer ships.
Yeah, he was on the outer ship.
Hmm.
One that was faster and more protection.
Fortunately, though, y'all were never in a naval battle or anything like that, right?
No, never. Nothing other than with the submarines.
What do you mean there?
We had a crash into the aircraft carrier refueling there in rough seas one year, latter part of the year there, and this other destroyer took our run. It was our time to go.
Mm-hmm.
When a contact was made with submarines, and somehow another boom, 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 and that ship was gone in 53 seconds.
Gosh.
53 seconds, it was gone.
Which ship was this?
It was another destroyer.
Yep.
It was supposed to have been us. We got about 50-something survivors out of 100-something.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
Half the people died at
least. Yeah.
You remember the name of that ship?
No, I don't. It's four destroyers just alike.
You were out there in the water when that happened to the other ship?
Oh, yeah. Always at night. Oh, yeah. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm. Well. So you were 18 when you went in the service. You'd had a car. You'd been hot riding it around town.
I sold it for $10 when I went in the service.
When you went in the service, because you didn't need it anymore. Was $10 a lot of money back then?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Especially when you was working all week for 14.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Up to this point, you'd not met Dot before, right?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I didn't meet Dot till I got out of service.
So how did the coming out of service happen? Did you just serve your time, or did you?
Like I said, I had enough points.
Yep.
To get out early.
Yep.
And about that time, Bud got out also because he had enough points, Bud Moore.
Did you know Bud going into the service?
I knew Bud before we went to service.
Okay.
We were friends ahead of time.
Yep.
In fact, I turned the car over. They said it couldn't be turned over, 34 Ford, back before the war.
Yeah.
Or right at the war, I guess, 1940 or 41, somewhere along there. They said you couldn't turn over, and I came down there where there was all that on Sunday morning, and you couldn't turn this car over. I said, y'all don't know how to turn a car over. I said, well, you can't turn it over, and I know it would take a dare.
Yeah.
I said, I can turn the thing over. Well, we said, let's do it. So we go out there to where they had been trying to turn the car over, and I stopped that thing. I done got chicken. I said, no, I ain't chicken. I said, whose name we gonna be driving this car? I said, I ain't using my name.
Yeah.
I said, my mama killed me. And said, use Bud Moore, right? Bud Moore would be driving this car. I went down there and I tore it all to pieces. I mean, all to pieces.
Yeah.
The deck lid come off of it, the hood come off of it, the doors half wouldn't, well, they wouldn't close no more, quite rolled them up.
Yeah.
My foot was hung between the brake pedal and the steering column.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it out, and I could hear the sirens coming.
Yeah.
Because they done called the police.
Yeah,
on the telephone, you know, come down there.
Yeah.
And I wound up, I got it out. I go around here, me and Bud, Yerkes policeman, he's riding up, says, tire blowed out.
Yeah.
Because it rolled.
Yeah.
Says, don't come around here with that kind of junk. Says, y'all been down here all morning trying to turn this car over. Says, now, who was driving this car? Bud Moore. Well, we standing right behind the policeman when they tell him it's Bud Moore.
Yeah.
This guy walks up and throws his arm on Bud and says, what do you say, Bud? Right in behind that policeman. There ain't a streak of lightning could have caught Bud Moore. He was gone.
He took off running?
Yes, sir. He was gone.
Whose car was it?
Do you remember? Arnie Burchess. Arnie Burchess. What happened is the transmission, something was messed up about it.
Yeah.
And didn't have no tires either.
Yeah.
And he said it'd bring more money wrecked than it would, like it was.
It was, yeah. So he was trying to wreck it.
It didn't, because it was tore up.
Tore up.
Yeah.
Did you know Bud pretty well, though, leading up to that?
Yeah, we were good friends. Joe and Eubanks, myself, and Bud run around together.
Yeah. Did Bud have a car?
No.
I see.
He drove his daddy's truck. He would drive off in his daddy's truck.
Yeah.
He could take a sardine can key and cut that switch on that on that Hudson.
Yeah.
It's a Hudson pickup.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was Joe Eubanks?
That was another friend of ours that came along there that we all run around with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so once you came home from the service, which I guess would have been in what year?
That was 45.
45. You said there weren't a lot of jobs.
What, none.
And what did you wind up doing?
I went to work for a wrecking yard across the street there from where Daddy had moved during the He bought a home up there during the war.
Yeah.
On White Avenue, where we live today.
Yeah. And I guess you met Larry and Larry was there.
Yeah.
And so you would have been 20, what? You said 45, 46?
Been 21, 22 years old.
Yep. Okay. So you started working for the wrecking yard. How did things progress from there until you to get you in?
We were there, and actually they'd hired Bud also.
Mm-hmm.
And Gober Soulsby and Bob Ozeki came in there with a race car. It tore all the pieces.
While you were working there at the
wrecking yard? While we were working there at the wrecking yard. And wanted to know if we could put a body on that chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And they just bolted on back then, and they bolted, took your belt and you fastened the doors to where they wouldn't open, or a piece of chain or a rope, you know, because didn't nobody have no roll bars.
Yeah.
And we can do that. So we worked all night long unbolting in that body, cutting it through the windshield and across the floor, and the windshield bolted in and out, and the frame, you know, and We unbolted it and cut it and welded it back together and bolted the body down and closed the doors back up and put the windshield back in. He was ready to go again.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. He went over there to Spartanburg the next day and won that cussed race. And then that put us a thing in it. Well, man, there ain't nothing to this racing.
You and Bud together worked on that car?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he went in the next day and won the race at the Spartanburg Fairground?
Yeah. But all we done was put the body on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So wound up, he won the race. And well, we got together then. There ain't nothing to this racing. We can do that.
Yeah.
It was already racers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So wound up, wasn't too awful long that we built a first car right out of Tenzin's junkyard.
Who is we?
Bud, myself, and Harold Ballard. He was the manager of the wrecking yard.
And y'all found a car and was able to put it
30,
together?
37 Ford, and we scrounged up enough money to get the engine rebuilt.
Yep.
And
how much did you have to do to the engines back? What would you do to them?
Just freshen them up,
yep.
Do a valve job.
Yep.
Put new bearings, rings.
Right.
Nobody knows how to modify anything, you know.
And so your first race car was a 37 Ford.
37 Ford. It wasn't mine. It belonged to the Intensity Company.
I got you. So he actually owned it.
Yeah.
Were you the driver?
We went up to Hendersonville for the first race. Now, we'd done been practicing this car at different racetracks. We see who wanted to drive it. Several of them tried driving it. And went up to Hendersonville, and Bud and Harold standing over there, and I said, "What y'all doing?" So, "Well, we're going to get somebody to drive this car." I said, "Not that I have my chance of driving it." Well, that suited them. It didn't make no difference who they put in the car. They just want to see it run.
Yeah.
And so I got in it. I won the heat race. Very first race ran, I won the heat race.
At Hendersonville.
At Hendersonville.
Yep.
Then it started to feature. I was leading it. And had me a good lead, and the switch was a flip-on switch, and it flipped off.
Yep.
But when I got it back going, I was third.
Yep.
I came back beside the guy that won it. I would have won the very first race we ran. I ran second.
How close were you to him?
Up in his door.
Yep.
I'd have got him. I got him at lap.
Yeah.
But it's one lap late.
So had you had a chance to practice in the car before?
Oh,
you
yeah,
took it
I drove it up at Rutherford.
Yeah.
We'd been up there practicing with it.
Yeah.
I think everybody had done spun it out, you know, one way or the other.
What was the track in Hendersonville? Half mile dirt.
Yeah, it's a fairground.
Yep.
All of us fairgrounds had a racetrack.
So back then, all fairgrounds had a racetrack.
Yeah.
And were they racing every week, or just when the fair was in town, or how were they doing it?
No, just occasionally.
I see. How would you know that it was going on? Just through the papers or whatnot?
Papers, you know. And
word of mouth?
Literature, yeah.
Yeah.
Most all had a racetrack, but they were horse racetracks. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't made for automobiles.
Yeah.
Every a track we run would come full of holes, you know.
Yeah.
Gullies, I'd call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to build yourself a tank to stay together.
So when you went up to this race in Hendersonville, first race, you won your heat race, second in the main event. Were you racing against people who
had been running before?
Yeah, who had experience and knew their car?
He had four cars out of New Jersey, Garback Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I never met them.
Yeah.
Had four cars out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I don't know who even won the race. Don't even remember his name. But anyway, I ran second to him.
These people were coming down from New Jersey to race at these races?
Hauled them on a car carrier.
Because there wasn't anything up there going on, or it was all?
Nothing at all.
Really?
Yeah, they just followed the circuit more or less. The one we fixed, they had run in Richmond and tore it up, and we brought it to Spartanburg to run here, and we put the body on it, you know.
So were they paying any decent money to win these races back then?
Pretty good.
Really?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
What was do you remember the number of that first car? That
46.
It was number 46.
46. Year 46.
Yep. And what year? So that would have been in 1946.
Yep.
Wow. How about that? How about that? After that And you said they were following the circuit again, just kind of going from track to track in the South primarily.
Oh yeah, they never did go home hardly.
They did.
No, them cars.
Yeah.
There's more than one set of them too, you know.
Yeah. So your first race was in 1946 at Hendersonville,
North Carolina,
in a 37 coupe, number 46.
Number 46.
What color was it?
Black and white.
Black and white. Hmm. After that, were you the unquestioned driver or?
Oh yeah, sir.
So they loved you after that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now up until this point. Is Dot in the picture yet or no?
Yeah, we done got married.
Oh, you have? Where did Dot come in the picture?
We married for whoever drove the first race.
Okay.
That was a deal in itself.
Yeah.
She was pregnant with D.O.
Yeah.
And see, this had to be up in March, April, so we're up in there.
How did you meet Dot? Go back to that.
Met her with a get-together. Yeah. Somewhere or another, and, and then we started going together.
Things hit off from there.
Yeah, and Bud and Betty and Joe and Ellery were our best
friends
at our wedding.
Yeah,
and they went on a honeymoon together. With
How
us.
Long did you and Dot date before y'all went up getting married?
3 months or more. Yeah.
And Dot was engaged to another man at the time you. Met her, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who was that fella?
I don't know who he was.
Dot had a big family. I mean, did you meet all that, fit in well with them? Or, I mean, how all that work out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had no problems,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, when I come home, and I had a handful of money.
Yeah. From winning that race?
From running second.
Running second?
I wound up, I don't know how much I had, but it's a bundle compared to what I've been working for.
Yeah, yeah.
And wound up, I says, I'm going to go borrow me a little money and see if I can't get me a little better car.
Yeah.
And the first thing Mom said, he drove that race car. Well, Dot, she flew in on me.
Yeah.
She's leaving. I loaded her up in the car and carried her back home.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so y'all were living still in your parents' house?
Yeah. Well, we had a place across the street there in a trailer.
Yeah.
And I wound up carrying Dot home. And Mom said, you ain't coming back here. I said, you can do a whole lot more things worse than racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Miss Moore liked me.
Yeah.
And so did Bill, you know.
Yeah.
And so she had to come back home.
They wouldn't take her back, huh?
They wouldn't take her back.
She didn't like you doing it. Dot didn't like you doing it.
No.
Why not? Scared? Oh, scared for you?
Scared, yeah.
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 So you met her in 1946?
Yeah.
Married in 1946?
Mm-hmm. Met her in 45.
45, okay.
Yeah. Married in 46.
And then Dio came along shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. 10 months later, I think.
Really? You wasted no time.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's what we went about 30 minutes today. I think that's probably enough for today. And that's wonderful stories, Bob. Thank you for telling all that. And when next time we do this, either myself or Ryan, we'll try to pick up from there, because that'll kind of take us right into the racing and how it progressed and from that first race at Hendersonville on up to the storied career that you had. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.